Good evening, folks. Scotty Roberts here, curled up in the fetal position at the... What hotel are we at? Seti the First Hotel. This is about the 10th take of this pre-recorded show because we're professionals, you know? Yes. We usually get it in one take. But it has been an audacious night. And I think we're all a little tired. We're probably all a little punch drunk and probably all a bit giddy. Because everything has become innuendo, and,
yes. And I'm actually fine.
I'm fine too.
It's just Scotty Roberts.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce your cohorts? Hi, I'm Dr. John Ward, and
I'm Chris Conway.
Excellent. Well, I was getting
Thank
to
you
that.
Very much,
so
Chris.
This
Thank
must
you.
Be a record. 42
yes.
seconds.
Yes. Yes.
Professionally speaking, I have sitting with here with me my cohort, Dr. John Ward. Say hello, John.
Oh, thank you, Scotty. Good evening.
And we have Chris Conway with us as well.
Oh, thank you, Scotty.
Hey, you're welcome.
Good evening.
And this is the Intrepid Radio program, the Exodus Reality Adventures segment. I think this is segment number 9.
What day is it?
What day? Oh, what day? Yeah. Saturday.
Date.
The date, the 22nd.
It's actually Friday.
Is it Friday all day?
It's Friday all day.
Oh, well, you,
you
know what?
Yeah,
it
go.
Says right there.
Friday.
21st. I've just lost a day somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know
Take
what?
A rest.
We have taken a day of driving today.
Yeah, we did. We drove all of those 3 hours.
Yes.
Yes.
So it wasn't really a day.
It wasn't a day. It felt like a day.
It was three hours.
3 hours,
yes,
yeah.
3 hours. And we're at Abu Simbel. And what's the significance of Abu Simbel, John?
The temple of Ramses II.
All right. That's all you got? I'm sitting here waiting for more. It's the big... All right, you can see the kind of day it's been, the kind of week it's been. Yes, it's the Temple of Ramses II.
Which is phenomenal. It's fantastic.
It is phenomenal. Now, you've all seen pictures of it. It's the big temple... That's carved out of the hillside with three statues of Ramses?
It's it should actually be classified, really, as I would have thought, as a speos. Very similar to Horonheb.
It's carved out of the stone.
Okay. Very similar to Horonheb at Silsila. The only difference is you've got these huge, megalithic statues at the front. It's dedicated to Amun-Re and Harakhati. I can never pronounce that one correctly. But it was also later, of course, after the demise of Ramses II, after his death, it was actually a place of worship and pilgrimage for himself as well, as he was deified as a god.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually something very special about that temple that's happening tomorrow morning.
Most of our guests didn't know until today.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't realize until last night that it is actually the birthday of Ramses II. And that's actually, from a historical point of view, it's today, actually, the 21st. But after UNESCO moved the temple during the
Aswan Dam flooding.
Yeah, thank you. The alignment changed slightly, so it moved a day to the 22nd. But the sun will penetrate deeply into the inner sanctum.
Okay, recovering from that snafu, let's move on. Take two on that. But the sun is deeply penetrating, and what?
Illuminating the statues in the inner sanctum.
All right. And, you know, that's very cool, because when you see the sun come up, and it's gonna drive itself all the way to the back of the Holy Holies.
Oh, God, I can't do this.
Okay, now that we've established that the Temple of Abu Simbel is Ramses II, that tomorrow's his birthday, and because the alignment's slightly off, the sun rises in the morning, and the light penetrates deeply into the Holy of Holies, I am trying to run a professional show here, and we can't do it tonight. Folks, we just can't do it tonight. Okay, we think you've got the idea. So what are we going to do in the after we watch the sunrise tomorrow?
We're going to leave.
And where are we going?
We're actually going to drive all the way back to Aswan. We're going to meet up with the Dahabir, And then we're going to have a beautiful, actually, relaxing sail back down the Nile towards Luxor.
And down the Nile would be north.
North.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Luxor, we've got a lot in store over at Luxor. Oh. And by the way, we are sitting in the Seti the First Hotel here at Abu Simbel. And because of the Ramses birthday tomorrow and the whole sun alignment and all of that, there's all kinds of dignitaries here today.
It's packed. We've got most of the embassies are represented from Cairo. We've seen the Dutch, the Swiss,
yes,
the Italians,
with
the Germans.
We had a lovely cup of coffee with the Dutch.
What did they say, Chris? Not very much then.
I don't think he remembers.
He doesn't remember.
I couldn't understand them.
Okay.
They were speaking Dutch.
Gotcha. But they did mention Dutch fudge.
That was me last night.
Getting confused. Okay. Is that after the alligators or before the alligators?
That was before the crocodiles.
Before the crocodiles.
Or the Sudanese.
Right. Folks, you would have had to hear last night. Yeah. So, sorry you weren't here. So, moving on.
Yes.
But also, all seriousness, guys. What else happened to us today? Apart from me and Scotty being married off to a harem.
Yes,
married off to a harem of Sudanese women.
Nubian.
I keep saying Sudanese. But there's like a brain block there.
Yeah.
Of Nubian, young Nubian women.
On the shores of Lake Nasser.
Which is the lake that filled in after the Aswan Dam turned up.
Yeah.
Turned on?
Whatever, the flip switch.
What do you mean, when it was built?
When it was built and it started doing what dams do.
The dam just appeared.
Well, no, it filled in over a number of years. Well, of course they had to build it.
Well, there was no flicking switch.
How do you flip a switch on a dam if it's not built yet?
Well, they did. Moving on.
Yes. So what happened?
We were married off.
You were married.
There were several young Nubian women standing in their black robes and their headpieces, and they were all giggling and laughing at us and wanted to take their picture with us, and we let them take their picture, then so on. One thing led to another, and John and I are married and have a harem. What do you think?
Scotty had six and I had one.
Oh, okay.
Seemed a bit unfair at the time.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was an eventful afternoon.
But then, what else happened before that? We had the TV crew.
Yes.
Yes, from Germany.
From Germany, who interviewed us all on our boat.
Yes.
Which was actually a big surprise, because I actually wasn't expecting the boat. Mo just turned around to me and said, I have a surprise for you.
Yes.
I said, Mo, I don't want any of your surprises. He said, trust me, you will like this surprise. And there we have it. We had the boat.
Yes, and it was two people from, it was 2DF.
Did you just fumble for that?
ZDF German television.
Actually, yeah. And it was all about the security, about tourism in Egypt and so forth. And
yes.
They interviewed some of the guests to find out what their viewpoints were and whether they had felt insecure during the journey. Yeah. Good job they didn't speak to Chris, you know?
Yes.
Being the big girly that he is.
Yes.
Chris is not a big girly. Chris was the most confident one out of us when you two were crying.
You know what's funny that I find, and this is no slam on our guests or anything like that, but we have some of the guests on board this tour, the Exodus Reality Adventure, that they'll see things like a smashed out bus window and they'll go, oh, that bus window's been smashed out. And John will go, oh yes, I think it was shot with a high powered rifle. And they'll go, and they'll turn around, just snap around and go, really, it was shot out with a high powered rifle? And we'll go, no, it probably just hit a rock. Yeah. And, you know, things like that. So we have a lot of that, and it gets a little fun messing with some people on the trip.
Yeah.
Watch out for guys wearing red sweaters. Why? They're the ones who do all the bombing. Really? That man over there has a red sweater. Do we have to get off the bus? I said, no, we're just kidding.
And Scotty, this security guard wants a word with you.
You just mentioned bombing. The B word.
I'll be right back. You guys carry on.
Oh, he's got the gun. Oh. Scotty has just been married for the second time today.
This time with a nice burly
security guard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they've just popped off for the honeymoon.
And his name is Mustafa.
Yeah. And Scotty will be back soon.
Scotty.
Oh, he's back.
That was good. I wanted to see how long you guys could actually carry on.
We couldn't carry that on.
They were stalling. you can see the mood we're in. This is mostly because I think at this point
tiredness.
In the trip, we love everything we're doing and every day we're doing. And the adventures are just incredible. But after a while, we're just dragged out today. I think some of it might be just from sitting half the day.
Yeah.
And traveling and all the things we've done, the accumulation of things. Yesterday was a very big day.
Yeah.
We talked about that in yesterday's show. And coming up tomorrow, we're heading back up to Luxor. We've got a couple of big days ahead of us in Luxor. We'll talk about those in more detail when we get there, but we're going to see our first stop, I think, in Luxor is Valley of the Kings.
Yes, it is. Valley of the Kings. And we'll be... we'll be investigating three major tombs in Valley of the Kings. There was talk that the guests wanted to actually walk along Monkey Valley, which is actually it's a beautiful walk, but I'm not too sure whether they're going to have the actual energy to carry that one out, especially after this one.
This has been 10 days of go.
It's been very intense.
And the Exodus Reality Adventure, we've got to say, one of the things we've learned about this trip ourselves is when John and I did this last year for about 3 weeks, it was just he and I. We were stationed out of his house, and we went to everything in day trips from there and saw everything. And now we've got 10 people in tow, and we want them to see all of these things. And so we have put a lot of things into one day trips, and it's in order to see everything. And it's packed full of information.
But it's not. It's actually the fact that you're actually looking after 10 people at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
all very different personalities, so we're having to...
You're having to cater to them individually.
And I'll have to say...
That's the beautiful thing about it, actually.
It's a wonderful group of people.
Yes, we're very lucky.
See, if you ever watch the movies or read fiction, you'll see all the personality types and dynamics are represented.
Yes, yeah.
But it makes it fun. We've got young people, we've got older people, mm-hmm. we've got middle-aged people. You've got people who like to walk, people who like to sit, people who love the adventure, people who... You know, want to have chocolates in their pillowcase.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have all different types here. And
are you
it makes it
to me
a lot
then?
Of fun. Oh,
chocolate
John is the biggest primp of all.
Yeah.
And he likes to have his chocolate. He wants to have his coffee warmed by the time he wakes up. His eyes see the first rays, the first golden shafts of light hit his face, and he wants a cup of coffee.
Can I just add there, folks, that it is actually Scotty that brings the coffee in bed.
Yes. Otherwise known as Mrs. Ward.
Thank you very much.
It's
very beautiful of you to bring the kids in bed every night.
Oh, that's all right. Well, Maria brings me mine in bed.
Touché.
So there you go.
If we weren't recording.
Oh, he just paled. All that to say, it's been a fun adventure. Tonight, you know, we apologize, but we make no apologies. So,
I don't think I've actually been this tired.
No.
As you guys know, I mean, I used to do this for a living many years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is very similar.
Yeah.
But this trip has been so intense.
Yeah.
And with you guys as well as the guests and Mo and the driving around and the sights and everything else we're doing, it literally has been. It's been an amazing but hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it's very funny.
And I think that's the beauty of it. We haven't had one strained word.
No.
No one's thrown any toys from the pram.
No.
It's just been a very, very gentle flow, but hasty at the same time.
Yes. I did touch your food tonight, though.
You did, in a very childish manner.
John said something to me that was rather insulting.
It wasn't insulting.
You
had dripped...
Oh, I see. You can't put your cake on your plate properly. You've got drippage on the side of your plate. And I just stared at him. I reached over and I touched his food.
Presentation is everything.
I was just going to eat it. I licked the edge of the plate.
You can't come to a table full of all of our guests who are sat there eating their dinner, and you come to your place with dribbling with chocolate down your shirt and a plate full of it dripping off the edges.
In my own defense, there was no chocolate on my shirt at that point.
But then you dribbled it all down you. Like yesterday, you had tahina sauce all down you.
But that happened.
I think
Post all of this.
The day before that, it was tomato sauce. You actually have a problem with spillage.
And coffee.
Yes.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes. It's just everywhere.
Pudding. Cereal. Hair gel.
Hair gel. Oh, don't get me on the toothpaste. Have you shared a bathroom with
this man? Yes, I have, yes.
My God.
Toothpaste everywhere.
And what
I have
is
a
it
toothbrush,
what
a toothpaste,
and zips,
and zip,
a bar
zip,
of soap.
Zip, 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 zip.
And
zip.
What is it about you and toilet rolls?
Yes.
What about toilet
I
rolls?
I can go into the bathroom and I can sort of like do my primping, like I do, because I'm very vain. I don't mind saying that.
He has a cabinet he brings along with him.
Yeah.
And there'd be four toilet rolls on the side. I will leave the bathroom, and then I may wish to nature cause, as one does. I go back to it, and there's no toilet rolls.
No. Scotty eats it.
They've gone. But where do they go?
It's not me taking them.
If we searched your suitcase and found a secret stash of toilet rolls.
Well, there is one thing. I will say there's one day I took a toilet paper roll with me.
Why?
Because
everybody needs a hobby.
Everywhere you go here, there is no such thing as paper towel.
You pay for
There's no such... You gotta pay for toilet paper.
Well, that's the thing.
The use of the bathroom is free, but if you want toilet paper, you either have to buy the toilet a sheet of toilet paper from somebody who's standing at the door asking for bakshish for.
But that's why you have.
And they and with their grimy little dirty fingers.
So that's why
they,
you
they
have
unravel
the
a toilet
to be,
paper roll
to
and
be,
give you.
To be fair, they do allow you to use the soap for free.
But that's why
you
have
the soap. And then there's a little hose sprayers down on the
that's
floor.
That's what you have. You
on
have
the floor
hose sprayer.
Next to the toilet. Now, mind you, I'm not primpy. I don't care. Dirt doesn't scare me. I'm not one of those guys that's germs. But when I'm sitting in a public bathroom in certain parts of Egypt, and I see the only way to, shall we put this delicately, cleanse myself is to use the spray hose. Like most of you listening to this show have a little spray hose on the sink in the kitchen of your house. It's like that, only it's down on the floor, and it's usually laying in a fetid puddle of something. And you've got to reach down and pick that up off the floor.
And your point is?
And you...
can I just point something out?
Every now and then I've taken a roll of toilet paper.
Or two.
When was the last time you saw me go to the toilet?
The last time I was really paying attention to your toilet habits?
I don't.
So he's actually saw you doing the toilet?
I don't go to the toilet during the day.
I don't care. Have I ever asked about your toilet habits?
No, you haven't.
So, John, I see you're very gaseous right now. Does that mean you're soon going to be dropping Duke? I mean, do I approach you that way? No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No.
But you do steal toilet paper from the bathroom.
I've taken one roll, and it wasn't from the boat.
No.
Why are we even discussing this?
How many raises does one man need?
Discussing this.
Is this a dig at me now?
No, it's him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's okay. Yeah,
he has razors everywhere.
Everywhere.
I have one razor.
There's two razors in the bathroom right now.
I've got one.
To be fair, they're mine.
Are they yours? Why do you have so many razors?
Because...
Why do you care?
I've got...
I just find it... I find,
because I've got...
I find it interesting when a man goes into the
feel my stubble. There, that's
you
your
look
answer.
Like you get about 6 days of growth there.
And
yeah, why do you have to
this
use?
Is only 2 days.
Do you ever use your razors?
It's Italian blood. This is 2 days growth. Some of us can grow beards if we want to. Others prefer bum fluff.
What's this?
Bum fluff.
You know, I've got to tell you.
It isn't bum fluff.
I shave with a cutthroat.
Well, good for you.
Yes.
Single blade.
Whippity-doo.
Oh, I'm a real man.
Yes,
I shave with a cutthroat. A
single
straight
blade.
Edge razor. Single blade,
like one, yes. Oh, yes.
Not disposables.
Not disposable cutthroats.
Oh, disposable ones. No, they don't get the job done very well.
No.
Oh, there's no class in that.
No.
But, of course, the world's watching our toilet habits, so.
Yes.
It's just the ability to be able to come out of the bathroom and say, I have just emerged the bath, and I have shaven with a cutthroat straight razor. And we all look like...
Yes.
Who gives a flying rat's bahookie what you just shaved with? Oh.
Jealousy is such an ugly thing.
Such an ugly, ugly, ugly
Back
thing.
To Abu Simbel.
Abu Simbel.
Did you know when we were being interviewed this afternoon that... Literally beneath us, underneath the boat, I think it's about a depth of 40 to 60 meters, lays the original location of where the actual temple, the Speos, was taken from.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you realize that?
Yes. They had to move that, and that was originally, well, now, like John said, it's about 60 meters deep. And it's not where they've placed it now, they've meticulously put that thing, took that thing apart and reassembled it.
The whole thing.
I remember seeing something on in National Geographic magazine on that in like the 80s when they did that. And it's all put together meticulously, the whole front wall of the temple and the temple itself. And the original location is now underwater.
Yeah. But when you put this into context, it wasn't just Abu Simbel they moved.
No.
Remember they moved
at
the same time.
Yes.
Kalapcha at the same time. I forget, I must admit, I'm sorry, I do forget the name of the temple that they've moved, which is now sits in the Met in America. Oh, God, the name's gone completely out of my head.
I'm not sure.
There's that one. There's a shrine that sits on the island of Philae that was moved as well. I mean, there are upteen different ancient sites that were moved simultaneously from Nubia.
Which is just as fascinating as the ancient Egyptians, because the work behind that is phenomenal.
The engineering behind it was phenomenal, really.
Yeah.
Given the time frame, I mean, we're talking about the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the time during top load of VHS. Or Betamax, in
Betamax.
It wasn't even VHS. Yeah.
And you really...
And you didn't have the mobile phone in those days.
No, you didn't.
How would you have communicated? Not, without even the iPad?
No.
Digital cameras?
I don't know.
Pigeons?
Perhaps.
Possibly.
But, well, then you think, of course, back 3,000 years ago when they actually built the thing in the first place.
Pigeons?
Yes. Why?
Well, it's kind of a little Mo's specialty.
Yes.
And there's another factoid.
Yes.
Another factoid. What do you think is missing between Egypt and Sudan?
Sudan?
Yeah, they're Sudanese to you, Scott. Yeah.
Sudanese. What is missing? That's a pretty wide open question.
It is.
I don't know.
Before the over-proliferation
of McDonald's? I don't know what's missing, John.
Before we fall into a pit of hilarity, the railway.
Ah, well. See, I never would have guessed that one.
It's still submerged.
Ah.
Oh.
That could be a problem.
And I'm going to really diverge into a totally different subject here, but it's one of the reasons why Central Africa, especially Sudan and Ethiopia, became cut off economically from Northern Africa.
Mm.
Because the trade routes, i.e. the modern trade routes, i.e. train, road and so forth, were completely and totally obliterated by the Aswander. We have the new road, which we've been on today, of course. Mm-hmm. But the railway wasn't re-instigated. It was never rebuilt.
And just remember, folks, with the Aswan Dam coming in, down here in the south of Egypt, the Nile was... it was just a river down here. Like, it's... Well, I don't even know how I'm going to say this and get myself out of the hole verbally that I'm creating. It was a river, okay? And there was inundation in August, September, which would flood the Nile. And then they built the Aswan Dam, which... Of course, what does a dam do? It dams up the water and backs it all up. It created Lake Nasser, which looks, you're on it. It looks like a sea, like you're on an inland sea.
It is. It's the largest man-made body of water on the planet.
And so you've got all of that, and it's changed the whole
I'm not sure if this is an urban myth, but I do believe that the actual Lake Nasser actually caused a variation in the spin of the Earth.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe. You know what? Maybe that's something we can discuss tomorrow night, because we're at the end of this 30-minute segment.
Oh.
And we want to thank you for joining us. This is Scotty Roberts.
And this is Dr. John Moore.
And this is Chris Coleman.
Have a good night.
Good night.